Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Friends, welcome to Pod Mavericks Happy Hour. I am Kirk Henderson. It's a little early for Happy Hour, for being honest. It's about 2 o'clock on Friday, May 30th. We've got, a little over 3 weeks to the draft. I am here. It has been a chaotic week for me. Chaotic couple of weeks, really, but why would that be any different than normal? If you guys listened to my last podcast, you'll know that my oldest broke his elbow, which has resulted in our normal work-life schedule being pretty imbalanced for the moment. So trying to get these podcasts done is pretty difficult. Not really a ton going on in Mavs land other than sort of trade speculation. You know, when you get a guy like Cooper Flagg being number one in the draft, and then you have the number one draft pick, it sort of takes any drama out, particularly after Tim McMahon has confirmed with Dallas that they're actually going to use the pick on him. Let's hope that they really do use the thing. But at the same time, I sort of don't mind the piece of it all. But the flip side of that is it turns us almost immediately towards needing to look at the roster and the salary cap and all of the things that really, really make being a basketball fan these days a little bit of an accounting affair. It's not always my favorite thing, but it is something a lot of fans really like to do, like to look at. I don't mind talking the numbers, but it also requires kind of like having like 9 tabs open at any given point in time. So remember, if you guys are new to the show at all, or just haven't really, ever participated, there is a link in the YouTube comments to a StreamYard link. StreamYard is the app that we use to broadcast this show live. It's really easy to join. You can join by phone. You can join from your computer. You don't have to show your video. It would be interesting to me just to hear what you guys have to say. I really like, the fan driven aspect, the community driven aspect of our show. It's something that, is why I keep doing this week in and week out, a lot of times. So remember, there's that link in the comments that you want to talk about. And, we can kind of go from there. I got a few things that I would like to list off. And then we can see if anybody has any additional thoughts. It's been kind of an odd few days in Mavsdom. I mean, my favorite thing that I got is I get these marketing emails all the time of like quasi-scientific studies or Vegas-based odds of this and that. And the one that I got today that's just been absolutely killing me. Let me see if I can actually share my screen here. See if that would share the screen. And let's go to Twitter here. Share this. So it says there's a link to a study. And it says Dallas Mavericks fans top the NBA for online negativity. And it was essentially just a look at social media posts. A new study by Vegas Insider finds that Dallas Mavericks supporters are not only among the top 5 most vulgar fan bases, but also rank as the league's most negative. And it was kind of by a margin, like very small margin. I don't even remember who the second one was. I wonder if I have it in my inbox still. I might still. Let me go over to the trash and see if I can take a look at this. Where it's like, yeah, the Celtics were number two. So, the Celtics, the team that that were an injury, a rough injury away that took them out of the NBA championship. The Philadelphia 76ers were fifth. The Knicks, who were like two games away from the finals, are sixth. So it's a little bit of a joke study, at least to me. But we ended up there all the same. And I've just had a good time talking about it on social media, just different people that are either yelling at me for not being negative enough, which I think that's a riot, or people that are like, what do we have to be negative about? We got Cooper Flag. And it's like, I don't know the methodology of the study too much. I'll just assume that it's primarily about everything Luka Doncic related, because that's a really simple solution. We got a comment there in the chat that I think is worth discussing. Luke Byrne says that he's seen Chicago media been talking about bringing back Daniel Gafford and giving up Lonzo and a pick. I would do that deal, says Luke Byrne. I too would do that deal. I don't even know what kind of pick would be possible in that regard. But considering the Dallas Mavericks don't have picks, or at least they have picks, but it's they don't have near enough assets under their control. That's of interest to me. The Lonzo Ball of it all, he is just not a very healthy player. Let's go look up how many games played he's had the last several years. But he's such a talented player. And, he's 6'6", 190 pounds. He only played 35 games last year. He did not play the previous two seasons. It's a pretty massive gamble if he doesn't work. And as Colton Dodd notes, yeah, it would be a bit of a death sentence. But the death sentence of it is it would force the Mavericks to speed up this sort of teardown of the team if Lonzo didn't work out. If he did work, if you were able to get, 55 games out of him over the course of the season, 25 minutes a game with another stopgap guy. Like, I know everybody's really high on Chris Paul, or even if you bring back Spencer Dinwiddie, if like you can cobble together minutes, I think there's some there, and the Mavericks might be a lot more competitive than I have been giving them credit for on Twitter. Right now, I look at the roster, and because of the lack of the guards, I see a team that's probably 7-10 in the West, maybe lower. Folks don't really like hearing that, but point guards and play initiators matter a great deal. And right now the Mavericks have play finishers. So that's why I labeled this fake trade season is here, because there is you just really have to assume that the Mavericks are going to do something, in terms of moving around one of the pieces. Now, who the piece is, that's a little bit harder to figure out, just because it's there's a lot of different options. Like when you get Cooper Flagg, it makes things easier, but it also makes things more important and harder. And that's what's very interesting to me this time of year. All right. So that's kind of that. That's a good comment. So thanks for firing us off there. Remember, if anybody's watching the show and would like to come hang out, there is a link that should be pinned in the YouTube comments. It's a StreamYard link, really easy to join. We always have had folks up here the last several weeks, but I know I'm starting this a little earlier than normal. Kind of had to today. Didn't have a lot of options. There were some other fun Mavs things that I think are at least worth discussing. This is like a way back machine thing. So if you're a fan that's not over the age of 35, you're probably going to find me talking about this annoying. But the Team USA, the under 16 group, came together, and Eric Dampier Jr. is on the team, which is just fascinating to me. Like it's one of those things that I can't help but be like, who is the, like, what do you mean? Eric Dampier Jr. has a really good basketball playing son. It threw something. It just sort of threw off the entire. It just threw things off for me. I wasn't ready for it, and I'm pretty fascinated by the entire concept. So the other guys that have made the team that are interesting to me are Beckham Black, who is Orlando Magic, Anthony Black's brother. And then we have, who was it? It was Marcus Spears Jr. You guys know Marcus Spears from ESPN, and he's a Plano guy, which is just really, I don't know, it's fascinating to me. He's a heck of a basketball player. All these kids are amazing basketball players, but just knowing that Eric Dampier Jr. is on a team and is actually quite good. He looks like, you know, Dampier was obviously a massive human being, but he was fairly stiff. His son looks to be pretty fluid and athletic, which at those age levels, everybody looks way more fluid than the competition they're playing against. So that's, I don't know, it's kind of funny.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so we finally got our first our caller here 10 minutes in. We got Zach. Welcome to the show, Zach. What's going on?
What's going on, Kirk? I'm kind of good to be back.
It is nice to be back. I'm looking, you know, we always have a dead period in the season, usually around like August to September. So I've been kind of like these last couple of weeks have been a little boring for me, but as we inch closer to the draft, it'll get more exciting.
Yeah, I'm currently overseas right now. I didn't want to cam up. It's nighttime over here in Thailand, but I had a few opinions about, you know, everybody's been talking about who to trade, Gafford or PJ. I would really lean towards trading Gafford and keeping PJ as that filler in for AD whenever he's not available. And you can let me know if my background gets a little too noisy.
That sounds good.
Okay, but yeah, I would really rather keep PJ if Cooper Flagg is who a lot of people says he is, you know, can play four, can play three. I think the lineup of him, AD, PJ, Coop would be really, really nice. Gafford has become, to me, more tradable than PJ. But I do think Cooper Flagg is more like a Jason Tatum 2.0. I know Jason Tatum doesn't really have the best reputation, but I did say 2.0. So, you know, he's a little bit better than Jason Tatum.
Would you consider Jason Tatum a top 10 NBA player?
I would.
Okay.
I would.
I think I would too, as much as I make fun of him. So to say, that a potential number one overall pick reminds you of a top 10 NBA player is a compliment. It just is.
Right.
Tatum is lame. He's not bad. Like that's a, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Doesn't really have anything original. I see it all over Twitter. It is kind of funny. It is funny. But yeah, I do like the trade. The guy just left a comment about I would do that trade. We need as many, especially if it's a first round pick. We need as many first round picks now with the addition of Cooper Flagg. And I don't want to trade any first round picks moving forward because they become more valuable in building this team around Cooper. You know what I mean?
I do. There was a there's a radio station here, 103.5 The Fan, I think is the name of the station. And there was a guy yesterday who wrote, he talks on the radio. He mainly talks Cowboys, but he also like has his own Substack. And he wrote this piece that kind of, I disagreed with his entire premise of like, oh, the Mavericks traded Luka because of the max, and here's why, here's all the financial implications, this, that, and the other. It's pretty, kind of drove me nuts, if I'm being honest. But one thing he was right about is that the way the CBA is structured now is that teams that are going to compete have to both be lucky and like in terms of injuries and in terms of who they draft. There's just not a lot of room. There's almost no room for error as you build the team, because otherwise you end up in this sort of cap purgatory where even if you have good players, you can't do anything. And Mark Stein says there's going to be a whole lot of movement this summer. And to me, it's like, it feels like teams sort of exchanging their various distressed assets, not necessarily any, and it worries me, as you know, it's a little bit ridiculous to talk about a worry when you have a number one draft pick, but I don't want the Mavericks to get too far behind the pitch count, so to speak, in trying to do what they're talking about with a two timeline approach, because if you mess up one thing, it kind of wrecks both timelines.
I see what you're saying. The new CBA is kind of crazy. The two timeline thing, I don't really know what to think of it right now, but maybe I'm on the other end. I think this team can compete for a championship. I think if healthy, just like I believe if they were healthy this year, especially, you know, given the teams that are still in the playoffs, I think the Mavericks would have been in the mix. You know, I mean,
I just would have been curious because Anthony Davis looked bad, but then they also didn't have any dynamic guards really to play with him. And that was the whole point of pairing him and Kyrie together. So until we see it, it's when I talk about saying that the trade failed, it's largely because AD got hurt, Kyrie got hurt, and they fell out of the playoffs. Like, that's just sort of a results-based approach. But if you're talking about the vision of the team that Nico Harrison wanted, you can at least get there and say, okay, I see why. Because the two guys work well together. I think they would work well together.
I do, too. I do, too. I don't know, man. OKC, man, we just have their number. I'm just not scared of them. Like, even now, I think them making it to the finals is kind of fluke just because we're not there. Like, I just feel like we're just a team that just picks on them. Like,
us and the Nuggets are the only teams that have beat them three times this season. Like, it's preposterous. I tend to agree with you just because I think they have fake shooters. But one of the things they've been allowed to do is they were allowed to do the same thing the Mavericks were allowed to do in the playoffs, was essentially every single play is a foul, and they just don't call them all.
Very true. Very true. While Shea has the insane whistle, oh, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So that's where I sit with that. But, I mean, I get where you're coming from, where I just think this next year is so tough because if Kyrie – I want the Mavericks to benefit, like, to for him to be a bonus for their success, not to be a requirement for their success.
That's fair. I mean, he's a rookie, but I think the addition of Cooper Flagg does make that more of a possibility, depending on how good he really is coming out of, you know, college. But I do want to say this about Lively, man. I think I don't really hear many people saying this, but I think he needs to start shooting a little bit.
Sure. I don't think he will, but I want that as well. Like, I think he is an offensive threat, and they don't really do anything to make him one other than handoffs and rim runs.
I don't know if it's like they don't want him to or he won't do it. I mean, but now that we have Anthony Davis, that just gives our offense a completely different look. Like, if just think about if Lively next to Anthony Davis was more of like a Miles Turner, Brooke Lopez. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how different that would make our offense, especially with Cooper Flagg coming in, who can play big as well. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's kind of the Mavericks' challenge at the moment, is the whole roster is so heavily weighted towards your 4 and 5 position. And if you consider the fact that they want to play big, I guess, your 3 position. But you want there to be space. And the thing that I find interesting, at least going back to Lively's draft days, is part of what had him rocket up the draft board was the fact that he was able to shoot the 3-pointer, and he just doesn't take those in Dallas.
Exactly.
I don't have a problem with it compared to some of the ugly shots that we were seeing towards the end of the season from other players. Like, I was just like, okay, let's get Lively in the corner shooting a 3 every now and again. Who cares?
Yeah, let's keep the defense honest, because we already seen that the offense was kind of clunky. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Cooper's going to need driving lanes. Other guys are going to need driving lanes. Like, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, let's give it a try. I mean, Jason Kidd likes to experiment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I mean,
I think you can, you know, if you're going to play big, you got to find a way to create space and not have them clumped up like it's the 1980s and like the same 15 feet of space.
Well, I guess it's going to be AD that's going to be out there because he doesn't want to be in the paint really anyway, I suppose.
See, and this is what the Lakers guys have told me, that part of his ineffectiveness in Dallas was because they didn't do very much to get him on the move, like him in screen situations where he's the role man. And I'm sitting here going, is that because he didn't want to do it, or because the Mavs didn't want to do it, or because he wasn't physically capable? And I don't have an answer. Like he went down from 25 points a game to like 19 points a game. Now, obviously not a very big sample size because he only played that first half, and then he played like five or six more games to end the season. But they just, you know, he's an effective offensive player, obviously. They just have to find ways to get him looks that aren't isolation Dirk Nowitzki post-ups.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, yeah, they have their work cut out with Kyrie out. Lonzo may be the best option, but I'll end with this. I'm going to say it again. I think you have to keep PJ. He, to me, is like AD insurance. He can fill right into that four spot and, you know, be a starter. We've seen him be a starter, come off the bench. He's done that in the past. It's much harder to replace a PJ than it is a Daniel Gafford. I wouldn't mind Moses. Moses, what was it, Moses Brown? He came and had some good games for us. I wouldn't mind him coming off the bench.
It's funny because, like, PJ's numbers don't really blow you away. He played 57 games last year. He shot 45% from the field, 38% from three. He averaged just under 15 points, just under eight boards, two assists, a block, and a steal. Good numbers. Like, good numbers. Like, the kind of, I don't know, you're looking at NBA 2K and you're like, that guy's a pretty good player. And I think that what the numbers don't tell you is just how important he was to Dallas on nights where we didn't have anybody. You know, he faded a little bit towards the end of the season, but I don't think his ankle was right. I just, like, to me, he's the guy with a much higher ceiling. Like, we know who Daniel Gafford is, and that's a very good player. But I think PJ could continue to become more with how he's played. I mean, his three-pointer finally went back up after several really rough seasons. And I just think there's something there with him. I really like PJ as a player.
I do too. And you look in the playoffs, you need wings. You know, you have we would have Cooper and PJ, and I know we have other wings, but they're like more our bigger wings. But yeah, I just, you know, you think about the bench, Najee, PJ, you know, Christie coming off the bench. That's pretty crazy.
Could be fun. I mean, you know, I still need more ball handling. I mean, we saw what happened in that play-in game when Dallas didn't have any guards and it just kind of got out of control pretty quickly against Memphis. So it's they've got to figure out some sort of guard answer, and I just don't have a great one. But they have something in mind. I mean, that much I think we can be sure of. So it's the roster is going to be quite different than it is right now, or at least one or two players different. And it's interesting that once you get Flag, who you can trade actually opens up to pretty much everyone on the roster.
Yeah.
It's a matter of do they want to do that or not.
Yeah, some people on the blow it up side. I'm not quite there yet. Maybe give us a year and I could be there, but I think you have to at least run it after everything that's happened. You have to give it a shot at this point. I mean, you just have to.
Well, we'll see, man. We'll see. It's fun. Hey, well, I really appreciate you kicking the show off with me. What time is it where you are? I'm just curious.
It is 2:25 a.m.
Oh, you're a trooper. Full 12 hours. All right, man. Well, you have a good morning, good night, whichever it is.
Real sicko, man. Real sicko.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, have a good one.
You too. Take care.
All right, coming up next is MJ. MJ, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you, man? How's it been going?
Good. It's okay. You know, just kind of bebopping along here.
Yeah. That last caller, Zach, he had some good points. I think PJ is vital, though. I think he's crucial to the Mavs. They need to keep him.
It's tough, though, because I think him and AD duplicate one another a little bit, and he did not really play well with AD. And I would rather keep him, but I think if you were to look at like the impact numbers, the Mavericks are going to go, well, we have AD, therefore we don't need this guy. And I just don't think that's the right approach.
I agree. I mean, to be honest, I would love to trade AD, although I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because of the current GM, you know. Yeah. But, you know, if you think about it, this finally, I mean, it's hard to kind of envision or look at what's happening because Kyrie didn't play. But think about it. We've got Cooper Flagg with Kyrie and AD. I mean, I know Kyrie's going to be out for a while until maybe January, February, you know, maybe later next year. But just think about that combo of Kyrie being a former Duke alum and then Cooper Flagg, you know, what a great influence Kyrie is on young players and really young, talented players. And the fact of the influence he's going to have on Cooper Flagg and the fact that Flagg has such a huge, you know, determination to get better and, you know, and he's proven it. I mean, every year he's gotten better and better. And if you think about it, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, people in college, you know, go to school all the time. I'm sure a lot of them, but now this is his entire career. I mean, he doesn't have to study or go books or go to class. I mean, now this is his full-time job.
Sure.
And you really have to wonder how much better he's already very good now. But think of how great he's going to be in 2 or 3 years.
Sure. You know? Well, the developmental, what I have learned about developmental basketball is that the players who make the biggest leaps in their kind of good to great often happen between like 16 and 19. And Flagg is just 18. He turns 19 in December. If he were, I think, something like 12 days older, he wouldn't have been eligible for this draft. He reclassified to become a year up so he could get to college earlier, so he could get to the NBA sooner. He's really on the developmental timeline. He's going to be one of the youngest players like in recent NBA history that's this good. The only Jeremiah Fears is another one that's coming into the draft. And so to get a guy with this much development, or at least developmental years, you know, depending on what sort of ceiling you want to put on the guy, is really, really valuable.
You know, I saw some of the footage, some of the video. I think it was last year when he played with some of the NBA players. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they said he did so great. And the stuff that I saw, it didn't really jump out at me. So did you see any of the footage or the video of him playing against the NBA players? What was your thought?
My thought was that he belonged. And, you know, when you throw a 17-year-old out there with 12 of the best American-born NBA players and he looked fine, that is wild. Okay. It's kind of hard to contextualize it because, you know, you couldn't – And let's just say in the NFL, I don't know, you couldn't throw freshman year Arch Manning from the University of Texas. You couldn't throw him into the NFL and him play a reasonable game. Like, he just couldn't. Like, that's just not the way that sport works. The fact that he didn't. Yeah, and really what was most interesting to me was what the other NBA players had to say about him after the fact, which was he had very clearly earned their respect. I mean, Anthony Davis is one of the guys there, and that's actually one of the things I look the most forward to after the draft, is hearing what the various Mavericks can say about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point, because I guess I was thinking, I heard that he was like dominating, but I didn't see that he was really dominating. But like you said, he belonged, right? He didn't. And then also there was that player from Golden State the Buscemi guy, whatever, that curly, you know, blonde hair, who had a really decent playoff run. He was in that. He was playing there too, wasn't he? He was playing with Cooper Flagg on his team.
The select team is what they call it. I think.
The select team. Right. I'll tell you, changing topics, what really annoys me about OKC is I loved it when I don't like Doris Burke per se on average. I mean, a lot of times I try to turn it down when she's announcing or when she was with Mike Breen is great, but I can't really stand her, or the Richard guy sometimes has some decent points. But she made the point about him being a free throw merchant, which I was like spot on with that, because that dude, and what really irks me is that he gets these fucking calls and then he fucking pushes off every fucking time to get space and never gets called. Yep. I've seen many OKC games. I mean, I'm not a fan of them, but I usually, if they're on, I'm watching them. I've probably seen maybe, you know, they've had a lot of national games. I've seen maybe 30-40% of the games. I've never seen him one fucking time get called for an obvious offensive foul that gave him space to get his fucking lame ass fucking mid jumper off, you know? Mm-hmm. It ticks me off. And I mean, they get away with a lot of fucking fouls.
Yeah.
Like the dude, who's the guy who came from the Lakers, defensive guy for OKC, bald head, older guy.
Alex Caruso. He just fouls the whole game.
Yes.
Yeah. Caruso, that's why I wanted him on the Mavericks.
Yeah. But that guy's fucking fouling all the fucking time. I mean, and then the worst is that fucking Dort, that Lou Dort guy. That guy is just a flop. He'll fucking fall or break your fucking knee, your ankle. Those fuckers. And I hate to say, they're probably going to win the championship because, I mean, New York is really good. And, of course, they got a win in Indiana, and then they have a seventh game at home. But Brunson, man, I don't know what – I mean, God, he's playing like fucking Luka did last year in the playoffs, seriously. And I can't believe I'm saying that. I mean, there are some – now, not the complete package of passing, but some of his shot making, and you'll have to agree, it rivals what Luka did, what Luka's done in his playoffs. Would you agree?
Yeah. No, Brunson's been amazing. It's kind of gross.
I mean, It's like he learned from Luka. Like Luka taught him stuff because he's playing just like fucking Luka. It's like, am I not seeing the Mavs? But OKC, I don't know. Do you see that there's any chance now? If Indiana, do you see there's any chance that Indiana could possibly beat them if Indiana makes it?
See, Indiana's problem is their defense. You saw that with the Knicks. It's like they just don't have great defense. They can score with anybody, but that, you know, just sort of one of those things. It you don't feel great about it.
Do you think Carlisle? You think they're going to be able to win game six, or you think it's going to go seven?
I hope they finish it in six, just because I don't really want to watch these two teams anymore.
Do you think Carlisle, but I mean, do you think Carlisle is, I think he's a really, really good coach.
Sure.
I think there were times where he was out coached in the playoffs when he had Luka.
I think that you know, I was looking at like the Clippers series in 2022, the one that went to seven games that was not played in the bubble, but he had some, there were some times that series where he couldn't, like the Mavericks got up in game three, they got up 30-11
for
the Clippers.
I remember that.
And then they only scored 78 points the entire rest of the game. And like, they just couldn't generate offense. And some of that is on him.
I wonder, do you think he could devise some kind of scheme against OKC to where, I mean, not that they're going to shut him down, but that they'll be able to outscore them per se?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, because like once that team actually gets going, like the Pacers, they're quite incredible. And one of the interesting stats that I read is, you know, OKC causes lots and lots of turnovers.
Right.
One of the things I saw is Tyrese Haliburton in the two games against Oklahoma City this year only had one turnover. And Haliburton has been really, really incredible when he's controlling the ball. He's absolutely controlling it. So the thought process has to be, you know, along those lines, where it's something special has to, could potentially happen in that regard. With the Thunder just not being able to get the turnovers. That's to me what has to happen. Right. And that strikes me as extraordinarily difficult to do.
What was the record, do you know, when they played this year or last year?
I don't. I just saw that, so I could go look it up, but I'm not. My work phone is, I'm apparently like needed at work, so I should probably go soon. And I'm like not, I'm like trying to do 9 things at once here.
I'm the same way, man. I'm taking a little break.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it, buddy. Keep on, man. You're doing a great job.
All right. We'll talk soon, okay?
Take care, buddy.
All right, bye. All right. I had one question in the chat. There was, who was it here? This is the problem with me, like, producing my own show. Did the PTA cards and games says I had a trade target. No one is talking about Jaden Ivey. The reason is there even a chance he's available because of that injury. I have an unrealistic trade mapped out if you're curious. I mean, Ivey would be preposterous if they could somehow pull that off. I just don't really see a real way. So I would love if you could, you know, if you know me on Twitter, send me the trade. I would love to see that. It is fun. Fake trade season. Everybody have yourselves a good time. Josh and I'll be back Monday. He's got a piece coming out that we'll want to talk about. There's the Matt Riccardi, Take That With You podcast episode. There's just a lot. There's some Maverick stuff which we could read into. And I didn't really want to choose to do it today because I would like to end the week on a happy note. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And I will finally get the ad situation figured out. I figured out the problem. So those of you who have been keeping me posted that the mid-roll posts aren't showing up, I think I have the answer now. Everybody be good. We will talk soon. Go Mavs.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.